If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Julio's all fired up tonight. The Chiefs going to have a new Super Bowl ring. What the diamonds on it? Didn't Clark had three, right? A lot of the ownership had three because they still put the first one on there as well. So we'll have four big diamonds probably. I mean, his ring's going to be pimped out.
Yeah, I don't quite get the player's edition of the ring. You know, my top doesn't come off. It doesn't necessarily have, like, the full diamond situation going on. So
last year was pretty cool. Not complaining. That top opened up.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Top opened up and it was a little bit different. Man, they're getting big, man. Compare that to the Royals 85 World Championship ring. I mean, how do you even compare that to the 2015 ring? And it's much different.
Yeah, you know, the money in the NFL is just different now.
Well, but all these teams do, like Milwaukee did some, you know, crazy stuff with their rings, but they in the NBA, but they teams really try to make these rings outdo the Joneses.
Yeah, they're just outlandish at this point.
And you look, you know, you try to separate yourself from the others, from the 405, utilize Wentz for the tush push. I don't know how they're going to use him. All I know is Andy Reid's always looking for creative ways to use different players. And he'll find a situation, and he's seen everything thrown at him. And remember a couple years ago, teams had, quote, stopped and slowed down the Chiefs, but he only went on and led the NFL in points per drive. Even though people thought they slowed him down, they win a Super Bowl that no one expected. And I still think that Raiders game was a turning point. Dynasty or downfall, I call it, that Raiders game.
Talking about the Christmas game?
Two ways you could go.
Ugh.
Two roads you could select.
I'm still upset about that.
Because if you lose that game in the fashion they did, which that was a terrible, terrible game, and you parlay that, and next week against the Bengals, you play like that, and then all of a sudden you're looking at downfall, but instead it's we talk dynasty because that's the path they chose, and they're having a ring ceremony tonight because that's the road that they chose during that game. Like, instead of crying about it, oh, what was us? They did something about it, and then they went on a hell of a run that we had never seen going against the scoring offenses, defenses in the NFL. We've never seen the likes of that, ever.
Tough life to live, you know?
Not only that, I mean, I honestly still to this day think it's the best run we've ever seen. Because they beat the number two, the number three, the number four, and the number six scoring offenses. That was Miami, Frisco, Bolt, and the Bills. They also beat the number one, three, and four scoring defenses. Baltimore, Frisco was third, Buffalo was fourth. The only reason he didn't play second, because it was the Chiefs. They were second in that list.
So gauntlet, man.
Not only did you play on the road, and I get the Super Bowl was in a neutral location, but they won that Arrowhead. So they went on just the stretch that teams can't say they did.
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of 49ers fans, a lot more than Chiefs fans there, I can tell you that.
Oh, they were a little bit feisty, weren't
yep.
they?
Oh,
they
yeah.
were booing.
Crying in their Wheaties afterwards, though.
Yeah, they were booing. Booing on the first
best
night.
Best thing I think I've ever seen.
But Shanahan chokes again. Andy Reid talked about Jared Wiley and the tackle battle, because I think the left tackle battle is going to be something to watch. But Jared Wiley is an interesting pick. Matter of fact, I like the fourth round for the Chiefs with Jaden Hicks and Jared Wiley. But even Kelsey was talking about, you know, maybe he's further advanced than he was at that stage. What are we going to see from him? Will he be the third tight end this year? He will be. But I think the Chiefs are going to use a lot of 12 and 13 personnel, double tight ends. Expect to see some Jared Wiley. Guy's just built different.
I don't know how much we're going to back off on his time. You know, he wants to be worn out. We can help him with that. So, but Wiley, he's got a good feel, but he's also got two good guys there between Noah and Trav that he can bounce things off of. And Tom's been doing it. We're into the offense more than what Trav was in, than what we were when Trav was coming up. And so those guys help share it, and Tom does a nice job teaching them and spending extra time with them. And so he comes from a passing offense, so he's had a couple of different ones, but good passing offense. He's got a nice feel for the game. He's a big target. You know, he's a good player.
But I can understand why they drafted him. He's a cerebral IQ guy, same way with Xavier Worthy. Because they talked about him, you know, with the combine, he was, you know, diagramming plays. Not only what he does, but what the offensive linemen do as well. But we had his coach, Sonny Dykes, on afterwards. And you know, he did lead the NFL or his NFL college football in red zone touchdowns last year. And he also led NFL tight ends in touchdowns. NFL, I keep saying NFL, college football tight ends in touchdowns. But again, the high football IQ, this is from his head coach, Sonny Dykes.
Yeah, no, he's got a very high IQ. He really does. He's one of those guys that comes to the sidelines, gives you great information. You know, you have players sometimes that tell you things and then you get back and you look at the tape and they're not always accurate and they don't really see really what's happening. Jared's exactly the opposite. I mean, he gave us great information all the time. He would come off the field and say, hey, they're doing this, they're adjusting to this way. You know, what if we did this? And so he's just one of those students of the game. You know, the one thing that you're going to get from Jared is, you know, a very mature player. He's an incredibly hard worker. You know, he's a guy that's going to be one of the first players in the facility every day, one of the last to leave. He just is a pro. I mean, he really is. And that's why I think he was so productive for us. One of the big reasons was, you know exactly what you're going to get from him every day. He's going to show up. He's going to go to work. He's going to learn what he's supposed to learn. And he does have an outstanding feel for the game and understanding how to make adjustments.
Now, will it translate to the NFL? But you don't hear that about fourth-round tight ends very much, Julio, as far as he would come off the field and show what's working and what's not. And for the coach actually to listen to said player about what they saw and what they see. And you don't hear this very often from tight ends. And, you know, you hear the first there and the last leave. You hear stuff like that, the cliches all the time. It doesn't hurt, man. It doesn't hurt. It also shows you love the game if you're that type of person that does that stuff.
Let me ask you this, because you are the draft guru. Why did he fall as far as he did, and why was he not on more, like why wasn't he higher up on people's boards?
I think he was on some, but that's kind of where the second round of tight ends went. Like, if you didn't get one early, that second crop, and I think a lot of people like, it's just like Jaden Hicks, who went in the fourth round. Dane Brugler, who I love his draft coverage, he puts that beast out. He's like probably one of the best guys out there. He had him as the number one safety, the 39th overall best player. And Daniel Jeremiah had him as 78th player, so I don't know why they both slid. But a lot of times, teams make mistakes. They do all the time. Trey Smith.
But he had health issues, so that was a little bit different.
But that's not a six-rouner. LeJarius Steen's not a fourth-rounder. Mike Dana's not a fifth-rounder. He didn't even go to the combine. You got to find guys like that, and eventually it's going to cost you. But the other thing, too, is his damage he does in the red zone, which I absolutely love when players do this.
Yeah, he does, and he's such a big body. You know, that's the one thing he does so well is – you know, he can make contested catches and covers defenders up because he is so long, and he can go get the ball, and he's the perfect red zone guy. I mean, he was, you know, we struggled a little bit this year in the red zone, and Jared was the guy that we could count on. You know, we had a difficult time running the ball, so we relied on him to make a bunch of plays, and he made them.
See, I love hearing stuff like that. You could be good in the red zone, but again, you're not really counting on it. It's a luxury item, a luxury piece at this point, but what's he do, Julio? He catches the ball. That's pretty big to have somebody you can actually count on to catch the football, because it was so frustrating last year when they weren't. Where would you say the biggest camp battle is for this team going with the biggest storyline for St. Joe? We'll take Rashee Rice out of the situation a little bit, unless you think that's the biggest issue. When's he going to get suspended? Is it going to be this year? Is it going to be next? Is it going to be four games? Is it going to be six games? What's it going to be? That will become an issue at this point, but as far as camp battles, which one are you looking at? I'm looking squarely at left tackle. The punter's done, by the way, because Rekow was released. They have won Matt Ariza.
Oh,
that's done.
I'm kind of excited for that. My pick would be the secondary, the defensive secondary.
Who's going to step up?
Who's going to step up?
I mean, Josh Williams is going to step up.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about him overperforming. That's just such a position of depth for them. I'm excited to see who steps up in the absence of LeJarius Sneed.
Well, I'm interested in the left tackle battle. I wonder if Kingsley Suamataia can win that battle. Wanya Morris will have the upper hand to begin with. He did have four starts last year, and it's not a position.
It's not much, man.
Being a left tackle, Andy Reid's got to trust you, man. I mean, he's got to 100% trust you in what you do to be the backside blindside protector of your half-billion-dollar quarterback. I said billion, not million.
And while I see where you're coming from with that. The problem with that is I feel like the ceilings for those guys, like the secondary has been a strength for the Chiefs the last few years. And that is, historically speaking, where Brett Veach has really excelled is draft picks or you know, getting people in the back of back end of the draft in the secondary. They just have such a high ceiling. That battle, to me, is the most exciting, whereas the left tackles, yes, I'm excited for the battle, but not in a good way necessarily. It's like, who's the best of necessarily, not the worst.
Personally, I kind of hope Kingsley wins the job.
I do too. I agree with that.
I'm fine with Juan being on the team. It was a floater. I think that Hunter Norzad's kind of going to be Nick Allegretti. It's going to, because who's gone off to Washington to be a starter? Like, he's gone off to that.
Yeah, I don't know where the ceiling's at with the left tackle.
By the way, you remember when they were the Washington football team? Remember that?
Yep.
The hockey team that's, this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but the NHL team moving to Salt Lake will be known as the Utah Hockey Club just for next year. They're doing a naming rights thing, and it'll be the Utah Hockey Club.
Good for them, right? That's a good way to sell stuff, too.
No, it is 100%. But anyway, here was Andy Reid today. And by the way, the text line saying, hey, talk Royals, I will. But hey, the Chiefs are getting their rings tonight. It's kind of a big deal. And also, it's the last we hear of them before the hiatus, before training camp. But Andy Reid today on Kingsley versus Wanye.
Listen, they've both done a nice job. So I like the production that we've seen from both of them. Both of them are young guys. So we'll just see how it all finishes up through camp. It's good competition. We're going to end up playing the five best guys, and we'll go from there. But we'll just see how it all plays out.
And of course, Mahomes talked as well. And there's a lot of things here I 100% like. I like the fact how much more comfortable he feels with the offense this year.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most comfortable I think I've felt of just being able to not let something, I guess, affect me. I mean, when you go up against Spags, you're not going to be right 100% of the time. And there's been times where I've lost on blitzes, and Spags gets me with a new pressure that he's working on. And I think it's just being able to, all right, we'll just get the ball in my hand, get it to the check down or wherever that is, and then live to play another play. And I think that's just something I felt more comfortable with. And then I think it's been cool that we've been trying. Like, Country's back to my old days. He's forcing me to push the ball down the field. If I don't, he throws little jabs at me, like, oh, you want to throw the check down here? And I got you, Coach. We're going to push it. And so it's been fun. It's been a great camp. And like I said, I love the competing. I think that's been the biggest thing, is competing both sides of the ball. It's been awesome.
He's still pushing, man. I like that. I like the fact that, you know, every day, this is much different than, you know, when he's a starter in 2018. When you're going against a defense that you could really light up, or 17 when he was just in practice and Alex Smith was starting and he was just destroying that defense. The defense, you know, with Spags, it's different. I mean, we're talking about the number two scoring defense in the NFL. They put pressure on you. You learn. You become better going against a good defense like that each and every day.
You know, there's a reason why Spags may be the first Hall of Fame coordinator.
I hope he is.
I hope so.
But I love hearing that. He feels more comfortable with the offense than he has. I mean, look out, NFL. Look out for that. This is what he says about his wide receiver rooms.
I think it's shaping up really well. I mean, I thought Hollywood had a did a great job coming in and being prepared and learning really fast and being able to go out there and make plays. I thought Rasheed did a great job. Jay Watt, Sky, all these guys really competed, and I think that's a good thing to have. And I'm excited to get Worthy out there more. I got to throw to him a couple times, but you want to get him out there kind of in some more team-based drills and let him work and learn on the fly. But you saw him learning on the side, and now it's just about him getting ready to be at camp and being in shape and ready to roll there.
And so that's Mahomes on his wide receivers. Now here's Mahomes on just the overall thought of the OTA period with the Chiefs. It's done now with the mandatory minicamp that was this week.
I think it's two things. I think one is just the confidence that the defense has. I mean, just off the year that they had this last year, you can see that they're trying to build on that. And then offensively, obviously, we felt like we didn't play our best last year. And even though we won, we knew we had a lot of places to improve. And I think guys had that mentality coming into OTAs and minicamp. And that's something that I think has gotten the best out of everybody, is that every single day, I mean, y'all hear it. I mean, we're talking trash, but it's in a good way. And then we go off and we talk about it after practice and what we can do better. So it's been a great OTAs and minicamp, one of the best I think that I've ever been a part of.
Do you like hearing that? I mean, if you're in the AFC, do you like hearing Mahomes say that? He feels more comfortable. He likes this offense better. He's being challenged by Spags. I freaking love it, man.
I love it. I'm not sure the rest of the AFC or NFL enjoys that, but I do.
Yeah, I mean, he loves the OTAs. He loves the period. I mean, the team bonding, the team building. And not only that, they talk some trash. You say, we talk some junk. But they always want to improve. They're hungry. They're not content. Because we've seen so many teams that were content after winning a Super Bowl. And you didn't really hear from him again. They're just, Jags made all the way to the AFC title game with Blake Bortles. Boom, they fell off the map. Then they start building themselves up a couple of years ago. The Rams win the Super Bowl. Boom, nothing. Bucks win the Super Bowl. Boom, nothing.
Well, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, that this is what makes him different, right? His love for the game, unlike others, like Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson, where mandatory minicamps and you're missing for vacations and such. It's, you just won the Super Bowl two in a row, and here he is flying to Dallas for an NBA playoff game, flying back the next day to be in training camp.
He probably went
solid
right afterwards, you'd think.
Yeah.
When you can fly private.
I was going to say, when you fly private, man, that's like an hour and a half flight. I mean,
it's like 90 for on him. A commercial flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's probably less than that when you're not screwing around with the ticket count or anything else, because you're not having to do that.
Yeah.
That's a life, man.
We'll never know that life.
Is that one of the things that you'd want most in life, is a private jet, so you could literally do whatever you want whenever you wanted? Would there anything be better than that? Because I can't think there. When you skip lines, you just get on your plane, you go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll take it. I'll take it. I won't fight you on that.
I mean, you could have whatever beer you want, you could have whatever food you want, as much as you want anytime. Or C, you could take a private jet whenever the hell you want to. Would you rather take the beer, the food, or the jet?
Oh, no, I'm taking the jet.
Okay.
I'm taking the jet. Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
You show up.
I'll bring my own beer and my own food on the jet. I'll pay for it. That's fine.
You can go to the Stanley Cup up in Edmonton tonight and watch the Panthers and Oilers. Are you watching the NHL Finals? I love it.
Yeah, actually, I went to I don't think I talked to you about this. I actually went to Canada a few weeks ago.
Did you?
And I went to NHL hockey playoff game.
Did you really?
I did.
What were you doing up there? Did you fish?
I went to a Canucks game. My fiance, her company works up there. It has an office up there, so they sent us up there for free.
So it was a work thing.
It was a work thing, and we were staying in a hotel right across from the street from the stadium, and why not?
It's supposed to be a badass town.
Oh, it was amazing. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
How was the Canucks game?
It was amazing. We got we had seats up in the boxes for stupid cheap, and it was all the free food you could eat, oyster bar and such.
Was that your first NHL game?
No, I've done a couple Rangers games and
Have you really?
Yeah.
In the Garden?
Yep. Courtesy of 610, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. They got me into the
With the Odyssey up there.
Yep. What did I do? The Champions Classic up there in the Garden. I got to do that with a credential here. So, taking advantage, man.
Back when it was Fox Sports Midwest, they used to get those because they have the Blues games.
Yep.
They'd give tickets down.
You're a big Blues guy, right?
Yeah, you go down there. I mean, it's the NHL. I love the Mavericks and love what they were able to do, not able to win the Kelly Cup this year.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's always fun to go to. But you go to an NHL game, man.
It's a different level, man.
The speed is unreal.
Let me tell you.
You get hooked going to NHL games when you're
playoff NHL hockey, an even bigger level, man. It's intense. Man, what an experience that was.
So it's regular season games in New York.
Yeah.
That's Sweeney's, Pete Sweeney's favorite team, too.
Yeah.
He's a big Rangers guy. Fesco likes the Devils. They used to be the Kansas City Scouts once upon a time via before they went to Colorado.
Way back in the day.
But they were Kansas City Scouts. Yeah. Anyway, I enjoy the NBA finals are terrible at this point. Dallas has let me down.
Last night, I'm done. I'm good. Checked out.
But the NHL, we'll see what happens. That game's on right now. Oilers and the Florida Panthers. They have a Panthers with a 2-0 lead. They ran it last year. They won a cup yet. See if they can win it tonight. Coming up next, though, we will talk Kansas City Royals, and they're in a plane. They're probably getting close to Los Angeles or may already be there. We'll see, but it's a joyous flight out to L.A. They're 10 games over 500 at this point, so it's important for them. We'll hear from Dusty Likens, who's down on the red carpet tonight for 610 Sports Radio, so we'll hear from him in a little bit. And about 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Ron Kopp, lead analyst there at arrowheadpride.com, to kind of put a bow on what were the mini camps before we head to training camp. We do all that, and basically we talk some Royals next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases, while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. The players are still arriving, Julio. Mahomes is there now. You can go ahead and start the thing. Kelsey's there as well, so you can go ahead and start it, can't you? Once Mahomes arrives, you just go ahead and start the ring ceremony, don't you?
Hey, he didn't earn it himself, you know?
No, it's a team game, but I haven't seen Jones yet. I haven't seen the Jones on it. Andy Reid was wearing, like, did you ever see the shoes he had on?
Are those
Crocs? Do you have Twitter pulled up?
Yeah, let me take a look at this, because I sure hope not.
Yeah, look up Andy Reid. They're either red or look like they're Crocs, but I could be wrong. Just that's what they look like. I know my dude Greco painted Mitch's shoes. How about Vern, the promo for Vern? Do you get to talk to Vern very much, Julio? Because I know you just come on Thursdays or whatever, but you do Royals games on Thursdays, don't you?
The occasional Thursdays I do.
Okay.
Yep, the occasional Thursdays.
I've never seen Vern as happy, and I was with him in 14 and 15.
Look, Vern has been through some rough times, you know? He's got to soak it in while he's can. He knows better than anyone, you know.
But he's getting to watch. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr., happy birthday. He turns 24 tomorrow.
That's crazy to think, right?
Did you see those shoes yet?
Yes. That's
What are those things?
I think those are Crocs. That's very disappointing.
Do you own Crocs?
That's a negative.
Are they comfortable?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't ever wear them, but.
You know, I guess they're more like all-terrain shoes. You know, you can wear them for any occasion.
Are they back in style?
Were they ever in style?
I don't think so, but people did wear them.
Like to not think so, but, you know, some people like, you know, they like to put those little things on them, like the little, I don't know, what are they? They're like pins, but they go in your shoes, your Crocs. I don't know.
This is the text line. Do you guys wear Crocs? 913-586-7610, Jay Southland Toe Service text line. Am I missing the boat on Crocs? Why is Andy Reid wearing them? Just because, you know, he's Andy Reid, he can do whatever the hell he wants, right?
Well, you know, that's...
He can go barefoot if he wants.
He can't wear his, what is it, Tommy Bahama shirt, so, you know, it's his way of incorporating that kind of style.
He could have if he wanted to. He could have rocked the Tommy Bahama. I mean, Kelsey's got a suit on with just a jacket and like a... Just kind of like a t-shirt underneath it. Didn't have the tie or anything. If you're Andy Reid, you could wear the Hawaiian shirt. I don't think anybody'd say a thing.
And he can wear whatever he wants, you know?
He's kind of earned that right where he could dress however he wants. Yeah, he could rock the shorts on or whatever he wants. But back to Vern being excited. This has been a hell of a stretch. I don't know if you've settled down and watched this stretch of games. Cleveland in first place. We had split. They canceled that one game with rain. Then you win 2 out of 3 against the first-place Mariners that, by the way, have the same record as the Royals right now at 40-30. Then you play the first-place Yankees that are the best team in Major League Baseball, and Gerrit Cole hasn't even pitched one inning for the Yankees yet. Today, was walking off that game was so big because it's kind of what this team is about, like they're always fighting back. You always got to worry about the Royals. They're a pesky group. They're going to steal bases. Bobby Witt Jr. is what, number 2 in the American League in stolen bases. Mikel Garcia can steal. And I remember when both of them were on the bases earlier today, they could pull off the double steal if they wanted to because they have – Mikel's not been caught yet. And he's great at stealing bases. And now the first-place Dodgers for 3. And then guess what? Then it's Oakland in front of their 2 fans for 3. The Rangers that are, what, 3 games under 500? I know they're the world champs from last year. And Houston's making a big run. They're 31-38, and the Royals have owned Houston. And then you have the Miami Marlins before you got Cleveland at home for 4, and then Tampa and Colorado after that. There are some winnable games for the Kansas City Royals to keep building that playoff resume, because right now, if the season ended, they'd be in the playoffs. And I absolutely love the fact that they've gone through the stretch. Hey, you
just got to stay afloat the next week or two, man. Stay afloat.
Pitching is too good. Like, it's too good for extended losing streaks. Like, if you get a hold of 4 pitchers and you have 4-game losing streak like they did, eventually something like Alec Marsh is going to happen. They didn't give up a hit until, what, the 7th inning? He gave up just one hit. Yep. He went 7 innings, just gave up one hit. And then that happens, or maybe Lugo happens, or you know, when Walker comes back and things like this, good things happen. This pitching staff is too good. Now, you might get them one time through, but are you going to get them two times through? I don't think you're going to. The Dodgers, by the way, at 42-27. The Royals, believe it or not, have two less wins than the $300 million Dodgers. Two less wins at 40-30.
I mean, that's baseball, right?
I guess. I mean, you have the Yankees, they're above 500. You get Baltimore, that's above 500. Boston sitting right at 500. Cleveland's above. Kansas City's above. Minnesota's actually 4 games above. They're a very inconsistent team.
Not to sidetrack us here, Bink, but there's a lot of people defending Crocs on the text line here. Way more than I thought.
You know? Hold that thought. I'll get to it here in a second. Yeah. We need to take a timeout. We come back. And when Dusty joins us later, I'll ask him if he's into this too. I don't think he is. I don't think the Wolf would do that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this. These texts coming in next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. All right, Julio, we're going to deal with this Croc situation. Andy Reid was rocking him. It looked like via Twitter, you confirmed it.
From what I see, yeah.
From what you saw, we'll get to that in just a second. You said something about a pool.
That's right, man.
Excited. You've opened your pool.
Yeah.
I hope you have.
It just got built, so.
Oh, it did? It's just done?
Yeah. We just got it done maybe 3 weeks ago,
Filling that thing up was fun, too, huh?
Oh, yeah. It took about 2 days to fill, so that was fun. Nice water bill, too.
Is it one of the, yeah. I imagine it was. Is it going to be one of those pools that you keep open all year and you heat it?
Yeah, it's heated. It's got the auto cover on it. So, yeah, nice. It'll be pretty much at least all the way probably through probably December.
So you are going to close it.
We're going to do – we'll see. We'll see. You know,
last year you could have – well, it did get
– depends on how cold it gets.
That was in December, wasn't it? The Dolphins – yeah. I mean, we always have that 1 week, and that's it. I mean, this winter was great.
Well, that was playoff, right? Awesome. So that was January, right?
That was it. It was just that Dolphins game. Yeah. That was a cold week.
That was a tough one to work.
They said, am I missing it? Is the ring ceremony going to be on TV? I think they'll show it on the Chiefs' channels.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
YouTube and stuff like that.
Probably should know.
816, no Crocs. The kids are wearing them, though. I wear UFOs. Am I saying that right?
Never heard of them.
Am I saying that right? They're slides made of a similar stuff and really nice. After a jog, Alex Smith endorsed them post the injury. The 720 says, hell no, with about 9 exclamation marks. 816 says, if you have the right color Crocs, that's the move, the right aura. And 816 says, you know why Crocs were invented? They made them for a movie. Hey, none of this makes me want to go buy them.
I mean, look, this Sherpa-lined Crocs text line is talking about, that might pique my interest. That might be comfortable, you know?
I used to have a boat they took up to Smithville all the time, but I was always resisting the Crocs, and they probably would have been, you know, something to wear in the water. But I wore old tennis shoes.
They're probably very functional for activities like that, I'm sure. But they
got very wet, you know, having the old tennis shoes on. I mean, it's kind of slimy and everything else, but that's what I wore because I refused to wear
water
Crocs.
Socks, you know?
Or flip-flops. I won't wear those either.
Or flip-flops.
I can't walk in those things.
That's fair.
You wear flip-flops?
I do. I'm a big flip-flop guy.
Well, you got a pool now. So
I know. That's right.
Are you doing flip-flops or barefoot?
No, we go flip-flops. It's flip-flop season, man. Shout out.
What do you do in a pool? Do you
slides?
You drink more beer?
Slides guy. Yeah. And that's our nights now. It's nice. We take the little one outside. We go hang out by the pool. We're doing a lot of work out there, but some adult beverages and just enjoying the scenery, man.
See, my neighbor used to have a pool and he used to allow liquor there. And then all of a sudden, like, somebody broke a bottle or something.
Yeah, no glass.
But they put a rule out that you couldn't bring alcohol anymore. And it's like, what are you doing? Bring cans or whatever. Like, I'm not going to the pool if I can't drink.
Isn't that part of having a pool? I feel like you have to have a alcoholic beverage if you have a pool. Well, no glass, but...
You know. You have to be able to drink. This is way too much information, but I do think it's a important information. Do you pee in the pool?
I'm gonna stay quiet on that one. I will neither confirm nor deny.
So if I go swimming up there, it's full of your waz.
You know, that's what chlorine's for, you know?
Or unless you have a saltwater pool.
You know, and I have it's saltwater. So it's right in. You don't got to worry about it. You're not swimming technically in my pee, you know?
You know, I'll admit it. I've done it. And most people won't admit it, but they'll have done it. Unless it's one of those dye things which will change it, the colors on it. But I think a lot of people do. They won't admit to doing it.
It's like peeing in the shower. You know, people don't admit it, but you do it.
Yeah, you don't admit to doing it. I think peeing in the pool is one of those things that people won't admit, but they'll do. You'd probably be upset if someone was peeing in your pool and you knew they were doing it.
But it happens, man. Just don't tell me. Just don't tell me. It's fine. I mean, as long as you don't have 50 people in there peeing at the same time, it's not really going to make a difference.
Do you ever throw some shock in there? It's fine. Hey, Larry, it's been 6 hours, bro. You've been caking the beers and you haven't been out of the pool once.
Yeah, Banksy. Now we haven't had very many people over. Now you're making me skeptical of inviting anyone over.
Hey, Binkley, it's been 7 hours. You've been sitting in my pool, man. You put down like 15 beers, and you haven't left the pool once.
At that point, it's probably shriveled up inside of you.
You holding the bladder or what, man?
I don't think so. You know, I can't blame you. I'm not gonna. It's like more of a don't ask, don't tell policy.
I always thought Arrowhead should charge to pee and give you free beer or free drinks, but charge you $20 to pee.
Yeah, then you're gonna have people peeing in cups and stuff.
At Arrowhead, you probably would.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there used to be bars, and I don't know if they still do it. The text line will know. But you put a wristband on, and you'll drink free in a bar. But the minute you go to the bathroom, you know, there's somebody there that'll cut that wristband off. Then you have to, you know, restart. But then you've broken that seal. And so if you pay $20 again, is it really worth it at that point? Or do you sit there and stomach it the first time through for the $20?
Look, you just don't break the seal. You know, you go as long as humanly possible.
Here's another for the UFOs. Am I saying UFOs right?
Sure. Let's go with it.
They subscribe to them. They say no on the Crocs, but hey dudes.
I'm a big hey dude guy.
What are hey dudes?
They're kind of like almost like boat dock shoes, kind of. You know, you don't have to tie. You just kind of slide them on. Those. I mean, I have like probably five pairs. I'm a big hey dude guy. Yeah, that's right.
Are they good water?
Super comfortable.
Water shoes?
No, not really. They're more of casual shoe. You just wear around. You just slip them on and you go.
Is there a deep end in this pool or is it all one?
No, there's a level. Deep end. It's almost 6 feet.
Okay.
So, but it's got a nice little tanning deck on it.
You got one of those with the lawn chairs in it. It's not lawn chairs, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Nice
slide.
So my
aunt and uncle have that and they sit in there and sit in the pool in a couple inches of water, whatever.
Yep. Can just lay out in a couple inches of water and tan.
Do you have a diving board?
No diving board, but we have a giant slide.
Yeah, last thing you want is 6 foot and someone going down there hitting their head.
Yeah. No.
But you do have a slide.
We do.
But does it have water going down it?
It does.
Does it?
It's a big slide.
Kid'll like that.
Yeah. Well, not quite there yet, but she will.
Kid'll like that 100%. 913-586-7610 is Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Coming up next, something interesting with the Big 12. I don't know if you've seen this, Julio, or not, but things are about to change in a big way. We'll discuss that. And Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut. You know I'm going to talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. I guess I was saying it correctly, the UFOs. Hey, dude's much easier, man. Yep. Crocs are easy.
Your guess is as good as mine.
So Brett McMurphy this morning put out a story, and this makes a lot of sense. You're probably not going to like it, but name, image, and likeness, what the hell? You know, you're paying the players. Might as well pay the conferences as well. Big 12 Conference All-State discussions for naming rights deal. The All-State Big 12 Conference. Brett McMurphy also says Conference USA in discussions with companies like Globe Life for a naming rights deal. But would you be a fan of that? See, I can't say I'm against it because college athletics have changed. You know, you saw Texas and lining up the Lambos out front of it. Guys are, taking deals. A lot of guys can take deals in high schools now. But this deal with Big 12 and All-State, according to Brett McMurphy, a rights deal worth up to $50 million a year to change the league's name, sources told the Action Network. All-state top, or 12 top candidate for name if deal reached. So obviously Conference USA in discussions for that. But would you be in favor of an all-state 12 conference? And then the question is, what would the Big Ten and SEC command if this is a direction that that you have two conferences going in?
Yeah, I mean, it makes no difference to me. And I mean, that's kind of why they brought Brett Yormark in. I mean, that's actually an amazing outside-the-box way of thinking to bring in extra revenue for the Big 12. And if that means, right, securing the Big 12 and the schools and bringing in revenue, I mean, those are the kind of outside-the-box thinking that needs to be done to secure your place in college sports right now.
Well, they already go to bowl games. I mean, hell, Kansas State was in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I mean, that was a big ad for Pop-Tarts. Remember they even had the edible Pop-Tart out there?
Yeah. That was amazing, by the way.
So, yes, if you get $50 million, you can spread around to your schools. I don't think a lot of schools are going to be against that kind of deal. But Yormark, you got to find a way to make money, and I get it, man. If you're paying players and name, image, and likeness, these schools are going to want some money, too, because guess what? They got to pony up for the name, image, and likeness. Not only that, you're going to the boosters and asking them to fill those coffers. What the hell? The New Heights podcast, when the Kelce brothers did it in Cincinnati, that was to raise money for the name, image, and likeness at that university.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make that up somewhere, right? You got to make that revenue up somewhere, and this is a brilliant way of doing it, and I guarantee you other conferences are going to follow suit, 100%.
And McMurphy says it's unknown if a deal can be completed to begin for the 2024 season with the required amount of time to make changes in the signage, field logos, and other items. One new concern was that the NCAA's recent decision to allow corporate logos on the field could reduce the value of a naming rights deal. The league also is considering a private equity company in a deal worth $800 million to $1.1 billion for 20% ownership of the Big 12, according to the Action Network.
I don't know if I like that. You know, you start meddling in private affairs with publicly funded schools.
Yeah, but Yormark, comes in, he's making money. I mean, he's being proactive on the deal. This is, I think, the direction you're going to have to go to keep conferences up and keep them viable and not have them go out of business.
And have wrong about that.
Jump to another conference, because if you're getting cash for this, your ability to want to stay is increased tenfold.
Look, it's hard to say no to what, $1 billion almost?
But you know the SEC and Big Ten are going to go all on board with this.
Oh, if the Big 12 is commanding $1 billion, I can only imagine what the Big Ten and SEC are going to command.
Well, the SEC is ESPN now. They're doing that. It's not the CBS afternoon window. They're doing windows, but they're flexing. But now they're letting people know the kickoff times. Usually, you only knew that 2 weeks in advance to do that.
Well, and maybe that's a benefit. Maybe that's a leg up that the Big 12 has. Is they're not necessarily, they don't have the red tape necessarily that the Big Ten or the SEC might have to deal with. You know.
And the other big event, Julio, is obviously, because I did go on Fesco in the morning a couple days. That was yesterday, because they were asking me my opinion on the Joey Chestnut deal being banned from the event because he took outside money. But again, we're talking about outside money. We're talking
about stupid, man. That's stupid.
Renaming conferences. He is what I consider Nathan's. I remember when he brought that Nathan's hot dog hat in, and I had that for a while.
I mean, it's only going to hurt. It only hurts them. I don't understand. It's stupid.
Well, Kobayashi, who is going to retire at some point, has. Well, they have 22 mustard belts between them. I mean, they are the biggest stars, but they're going to go at it. And he says this is what Kobayashi says. Retiring for me will only happen after I take him down one last time. Oh, it's on, man. It's on. You're throwing barbs, and Joey's beating you. You've never even come close to that 76 hot dogs. Now, he was at a different location. One time they both tied like 59 or something like that. They have tied before, and Kobayashi has beaten him, but Joey's beaten him in that competition. But you got to find a way for Joey. And to keep in mind, they also do the Twink eating competition and everything else. But that was a big part of the 4th of July. It's what I look forward to. You had to watch the hot dog contest, and whether you loved it or hated it, people still talked about it. And guess what would lead Sports Center that night was Joey Chestnut adding yet another title. And a face full of sweat. Remember?
I don't know that I'm going to go out of my way to watch it if he's not in it.
They tied in the 2008 contest with 59 hot dogs consumed in 10 minutes. But Chestnut won an eat-off in which he downed five more in 50 seconds, 7 seconds faster than Kobayashi. I remember one time they had Man vs. Beast, and they had Kobayashi going against a bear.
I remember that.
There was the bear destroyed him.
Of course, yeah.
The bear 100% destroyed Kobayashi. But will we see this now? Because they do have Major League Eating, and people do this. And a lot of times it's like a 105-pound woman or 110-pound woman, and a women's circuit and a men's circuit. This might be the wave of the future. I mean, everything's about reality TV now, right? Why don't you have eat-offs?
I'm down for it. I think the text line is right. Andy Reid looks like he's actually wearing, now that I'm looking at him, the red Air Force Ones. I think those are. I don't think those are Crocs.
So Reid's wearing the Air Force Ones.
I think those are Air Force Ones, all red.
Okay.
I think that's correct.
So that is correct. All right. So he's rocking the Air Force Ones. Andy Reid likes Air Force Ones. I think he does. He's always wearing a pair of those, isn't he? Usually the white ones.
So, yeah, that would make sense.
So Reid's not in Crocs.
He's safe. He's safe. Mark him safe from the Croc.
Good. I didn't think he'd go that direction. But if he did, again, he's one of those few guys that can wear whatever the hell they want. Like, literally. Literally wear whatever he wants, and you'd be fine with it because it's Coach Reid.
Yep. He's earned that right, you know?
Mahomes should be rocking his shoes. People are wearing tennis shoes now with suits.
Yeah, but, you know, he's more of a he's more fancy now, you know?
I guess.
It's too stylish for that now.
I guess. The text line's kind of mixed on him. But that is cool if he's rocking the Air Force Ones. I don't know what he's wearing. It's you and I both looked at him, and they looked...
Yeah, I seen another picture where you can see him more up close. And
okay, so they are Air Force Ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Mitch Holtis has the customized touchdown Kansas City shoes, and he has quote on it last year. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture here of Reid. Those are like all red. Those are red.
Super bright red. Yes.
Yeah, those are red. Red laces, everything. Yeah, hell no, he's not in Crocs.
You liking Travis Kelce's red suit, by the way?
Yeah, the red suit's cool. Fesco's got a red jacket, too. He has once in a while. He had a blue one, too, when the Royals were on the run.
Why does it seem like Kelce always wears such oversized clothes? Like, is that a new fad? He's such a big guy, too.
I've seen a lot of people wearing the oversized clothes lately. I think that might be a trend.
I guess.
And keep in mind, I'm very late on trends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still think that braided belts and pleats are cool.
You're a pleat guy, huh?
Well, there's more room in them.
You know, I can't argue there.
I mean, it's the way they are, the way they are. Anyway, Ron Kopp, lead analyst from arrowheadpride.com, will wrap things up with the Chiefs mini camps and mandatory mini camps next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. All right, Julio, we're going to deal with this Croc situation. Andy Reid was rocking him. It looked like via Twitter. You confirmed it.
From what I see, yeah.
From what you saw. We'll get to that in just a second. You said something about a pool.
That's right, man.
Excited. You've opened your pool.
Yeah.
I hope you have.
It just got built. So.
Oh, it did. It's just done.
Yeah. We just got it done maybe 3 weeks ago.
Filling that thing up was fun too. Huh?
Oh, yeah. It took about 2 days to fill. So it was fun. Nice water bill too.
Is it one of the, yeah. I imagine it was. Is it going to be one of those pools that you keep open all year and you heat it?
Yeah, it's heated. It's got the auto cover on it. So, yeah, nice. It'll be pretty much at least all the way probably through probably December.
So you are going to close it.
We're going to do – we'll see. We'll see. You know,
last year you could have – well, it did get
– depends on how cold it gets.
That was in December, wasn't it? The Dolphins – yeah. I mean, we always have that 1 week, and that's it. I mean, this winter was great.
Well, that was playoff, right? Awesome. So that was January, right?
That was it. It was just that Dolphins game. Yeah. That was a cold week.
That was a tough one to work.
They said, am I missing it? Is the ring ceremony going to be on TV? I think they'll show it on the Chiefs channels.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
YouTube and stuff like that.
Probably should know.
816, no Crocs. The kids are wearing them, though. I wear UFOs. Am I saying that right?
Never heard of them.
Am I saying that right? They're slides made of a similar stuff and really nice. After a jog, Alex Smith endorsed them post the injury. The 720 says, hell no, with about 9 exclamation marks. 816 says, if you have the right color Crocs, that's the move, the right aura. And 816 says, you know why Crocs were invented? They made them for a movie. Hey, none of this makes me want to go buy them.
I mean, look, this Sherpa-lined Crocs text line is talking about, that might pique my interest. That might be comfortable, you know?
I used to have a boat they took up to Smithville all the time, but I was always resisting the Crocs, and they probably would have been, you know, something to wear in the water. But I wore old tennis shoes.
They're probably very functional for activities like that, I'm sure.
But they got very wet, you know, having the old tennis shoes on. I mean, it's kind of slimy and everything else, but that's what I wore because I refused to wear
water
Crocs.
Socks, you know?
Or flip-flops. I won't wear those either.
Or flip-flops.
I can't walk in those things.
That's fair.
You wear flip-flops?
I do. I'm a big flip-flop guy.
Well, you got a pool now. So I know.
That's right.
Are you doing flip-flops or barefoot?
No, we go flip-flops. It's flip-flop season, man. Shout out.
What do you do in a pool? Do you
slides?
You drink beer?
Slides guy. Yeah. And that's our nights now. It's nice. We take the little one outside. We go hang out by the pool. We're doing a lot of work out there, but some adult beverages and just enjoying the scenery, man.
See, my neighbor used to have a pool and he used to allow liquor there. And then all of a sudden, like, somebody broke a bottle or something.
Yeah, no glass.
Yeah, but they put a rule out that you couldn't bring alcohol anymore. And it's like, what are you doing? Bring cans or whatever. Like, I'm not going to the pool if I can't drink.
Isn't that part of having a pool? I feel like you have to have a alcoholic beverage if you have a pool. Well, no glass, but...
Yeah, you have to be able to drink. This is way too much information, but I do think it's important information. Do you pee in the pool?
I'm gonna stay quiet on that one. I will neither confirm nor deny.
So if I go swimming up there, it's full of your waz.
You know, that's what chlorine's for, you know?
Or unless you have a saltwater pool.
You know, and I have it's saltwater, so it's right in. You know, you don't gotta worry about it. You're not swimming technically in my pee, you know?
You know, I'll admit it, I've done it, and most people won't admit it, but they'll have done it. Unless it's one of those dye things which will change it, the colors on it. But I think a lot of people do. They won't admit to doing it.
It's like peeing in the shower. You know, people don't admit it, but you do it.
Yeah, you don't admit to doing it. I think peeing in the pool is one of those things that people won't admit, but they'll do. You'd probably be upset if someone was peeing in your pool and you knew they were doing it.
But I don't want to know, but look, it happens, man. Just don't tell me. As long as it's fine. I mean, as long as you don't have 50 people in there peeing at the same time, it's not really going to make a difference.
Do you ever sit there shock like, in there? It's fine. Hey, Larry, it's been 6 hours, bro. You've been caking the beers and you haven't been out of the pool once.
Yeah, Banksy. Now we haven't had very many people over. Now you're making me skeptical of inviting anyone over. You know?
Like, hey, Binkley, it's been 7 hours you've been sitting in my pool, man. You put down like 15 beers, and you haven't left the pool once.
At that point, it's probably shriveled up inside of you.
You holding the bladder or what, man?
I don't think so, you know? Look, I can't blame you. I'm not going to... It's like more of a don't ask, don't tell policy.
I always thought Arrowhead should charge to pee and give you free beer or free drinks, but charge you $20 to pee.
Yeah, then you're going to have people peeing in cups and stuff.
At Arrowhead, you probably would.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there used to be bars, and I don't know if they still do it. The text line will know. But you put a wristband on, and you'll go, you'll drink free in a bar. But the minute you go to the bathroom, you know, there's somebody there that'll cut that wristband off. Then you have to, you know, restart. But then you've broken that seal. And so if you pay $20 again, is it really worth it at that point? Or do you sit there and stomach it the first time through for the $20?
Look, you just don't break the seal. You know, you go as long as humanly possible.
Here's another for the UFOs. Am I saying UFOs right?
Sure. Let's go with it.
They subscribe to them. They say no on the Crocs, but hey, dudes.
I'm a big hey dude guy.
What are hey dudes?
They're kind of like almost like boat dock shoes, kind of. You know, you don't have to tie. You just kind of slide them on. I have like probably 5 pairs. I'm a big hey dude guy. Yeah, that's right.
Are they good water?
Super comfortable.
Water shoes?
No, not really. They're more of casual shoe. You just wear around. You just slip them on and
So is there a deep end in this pool, or is it all one?
Oh, there's a level. Deep end. It's almost 6 feet.
Okay.
So, but it's got a nice little tanning deck on it.
You got one of those with lawn chairs in it. It's not lawn chairs, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, nice
slide.
So my
uncle have that, and he's sitting there and sit in the pool in a couple inches of water, whatever.
Yep. Can just lay out in a couple inches of water and tan.
Do you have a diving board? Well,
No, diving board, but we have a giant slide.
Yeah, last thing you want is 6 foot and someone going down there hitting their head.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
But you do have a slide.
We do.
But does it have water going down it?
It does.
Does it?
It's a big slide.
Kid'll like that.
Yeah. Well, not quite there yet, but she will.
Kid'll like that 100%. 913-586-7610 is Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Coming up next, something interesting with the Big 12. I don't know if you've seen this, Julio, or not, but things are about to change in a big way. We'll discuss that. And Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut. You know I'm going to talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. I guess I was saying it correctly. The UFOs. Hey, dude's much easier, man. Yep. Crocs are easy.
Your guess is as good as mine.
So Brett McMurphy this morning put out a story, and this makes a lot of sense. You're probably not going to like it, but name, image, and likeness, what the hell? You know, you're paying the players. Might as well pay the conferences as well. Big 12 Conference All-State discussions for naming rights deal. The All-State Big 12 Conference. Brett McMurphy also says Conference USA in discussions with companies like Globe Life for a naming rights deal. But would you be a fan of that? See, I can't say I'm against it because college athletics have changed. You know, you saw Texas and lining up the Lambos out front of it. Guys are, taking deals. A lot of guys can take deals in high schools now. But this deal with Big 12 and All-State, according to Brett McMurphy, a rights deal worth up to $50 million a year to change the league's name, sources told the Action Network. All-State 12 top candidate for name if deal reached. So, obviously, Conference USA in discussions for that. But would you be in favor of an All-State 12 conference? And then the question is, what would the Big Ten and SEC command if this is a direction that that you have two conferences going in?
Yeah, I mean, it makes no difference to me. And, I mean, that's kind of why they brought Brett Yormark in. I mean, that's actually an amazing outside-the-box way of thinking to bring in extra revenue for the Big 12. And if that means, right, securing the Big 12 and the schools and bringing in revenue, I mean, those are the kind of outside-the-box thinking that needs to be done to secure your place in college sports right now.
Well, they already go to bowl games. I mean, hell, Kansas State was in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I mean, that was a big ad for Pop-Tarts. Remember they even had the edible Pop-Tart out there?
Yeah. That was amazing, by the way.
So, yes, if you get $50 million, you can spread around your schools. I don't think a lot of schools are going to be against that kind of deal. But Yormark, you got to find a way to make money, and I get it, man. If you're paying players and name, image, and likeness, these schools are going to want some money too, because guess what? They got to pony up for the name, image, and likeness. Not only that, but you're going to the boosters and asking them to fill those coffers. What the hell? The New Heights podcast, when the Kelce brothers did it in Cincinnati, that was to raise money for the name, image, and likeness at that university.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make that up somewhere, right? You got to make that revenue up somewhere, and this is a brilliant way of doing it, and I guarantee you other conferences are going to follow suit, 100%.
And McMurphy says it's unknown if a deal could be completed to begin for the 2024 season with the required amount of time to make changes in the signage, field logos, and other items. One new concern was that the NCAA's recent decision to allow corporate logos on the field could reduce the value of a naming rights deal. The league also is considering a private equity company in a deal worth $800 million to $1.1 billion for 20% ownership of the Big 12, according to the Action Network.
I don't know if I like that. You know, you start meddling in private affairs with publicly funded schools.
Yeah, but Yormark, comes in, he's making money. I mean, he's being proactive on the deal. This is, I think, the direction you're going to have to go to keep conferences up and keep them viable and not have them go out of business.
And have wrong about that.
Jump to another conference, because if you're getting cash for this, your ability to want to stay is increased tenfold.
Look, it's hard to say no to what, $1 billion almost?
But you know the SEC and Big Ten are going to go all on board with this.
Oh, if the Big 12 is commanding $1 billion, I can only imagine what the Big 10 and SEC are going to command.
Well, the SEC is ESPN now. They're doing that. It's not the CBS afternoon window. They're doing windows, but they're flexing. But now they're letting people know the kickoff times. Usually, you only knew that 2 weeks in advance to do that.
Well, and maybe that's a benefit. Maybe that's a leg up that the Big 12 has. Is they're not necessarily. They don't have the red tape necessarily that the Big Ten or the SEC might have to deal with, you know?
And the other big event, Julio, is obviously, because I did go on Fesco in the morning a couple days ago. That was yesterday, because they were asking me my opinion on the Joey Chestnut deal being banned from the event because he took outside money. But again, we're talking about outside money. We're talking
so
about
stupid, man. That's
renaming
stupid.
Conferences. He is what I consider Nathan's. I remember when he brought that Nathan's hot dog hat in, and I had that for a while.
I mean, it's only going to hurt. It only hurts them. I don't understand. It's stupid.
Well, Kobayashi, who is going to retire at some point, they have 22 mustard belts between them. I mean, they are the biggest stars, but they're going to go at it. And he says this is what Kobayashi says. Retiring for me will only happen after I take him down one last time. Oh, it's on, man. It's on. You're throwing barbs, and Joey's beating you. You've never even come close to that 76 hot dogs. Now, he was at a different location. One time they both tied 59 or something like that. They have tied before, and Kobayashi has beaten him, but Joey's beaten him in that competition. But you got to find a way for Joey. And to keep in mind, they also do the Twink eating competition and everything else. But that was a big part of the 4th of July. It's what I look forward to. You had to watch the hot dog contest, and whether you loved it or hated it, people still talked about it. And guess what would lead Sports Center that night was Joey Chestnut adding yet another title. And a face full of sweat. Remember?
I don't know that I'm going to go out of my way to watch it if he's not in it.
They tied in the 2008 contest with 59 hot dogs consumed in 10 minutes. But Chestnut won an eat-off in which he downed 5 more in 50 seconds, 7 seconds faster than Kobayashi. I remember one time they had Man vs. Beast, and they had Kobayashi going against a bear.
I remember that.
There was the bear destroyed him.
Of course, yeah.
The bear 100% destroyed Kobayashi. But will we see this now? Because they do have Major League Eating, and people do this. And a lot of times it's like a 105-pound woman or 110-pound woman, women's circuit and a men's circuit. This might be the wave of the future. I mean, everything's about reality TV now, right? Why don't you have eat-offs?
I'm down for it. I think the text line is right. Andy Reid looks like he's actually wearing, now that I'm looking at him, the red Air Force Ones. I think those are. I don't think those are Crocs.
So Reid's wearing the Air Force Ones.
I think those are Air Force Ones, all red.
Okay.
I think that's correct.
So that is correct. All right. So he's rocking the Air Force Ones. Andy Reid likes Air Force Ones.
He does.
He's always wearing a pair of those, isn't he? Usually the white ones.
Yeah, so, that would make sense.
So Reid is not in Crocs.
He's safe. He's safe. Mark him safe from the Croc.
Good. I didn't think he'd go that direction. But if he did, again, he's one of those few guys that can wear whatever the hell they want. Like literally. Literally wear whatever he wants, and you'd be fine with it because it's Coach Reid.
Yep. He's earned that right, you know?
Mahomes should be rocking his shoes. People are wearing tennis shoes now with suits.
Yeah, but you know he's more fancy now. You know,
I guess
he's too stylish for that now.
I guess the text line's kind of mixed on him, but that is cool if he's rocking the Air Force Ones. I don't know what he's wearing. It's you and I both looked at him and they looked.
Yeah, I seen another picture where you can see him more up close and
okay,
it looks
so they
like
are
Air Force Ones. Yeah, yeah.
And I know Mitch Holtis has the customized touchdown Kansas City shoes. And he has quote on it last year. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture here of Reid. Those are all red. Those are red.
Super bright red. Yes.
Yeah, those are red. Red laces, everything. Yeah, hell no, he's not in Crocs.
You liking Travis Kelce's red suit, by the way?
Yeah, the red suit's cool. Fesco's got a red jacket, too. He has once in a while. He had a blue one, too, when the Royals were on the run.
Why does it seem like Kelce always wears such oversized clothes? Like, is that a new fad? He's such
be.
A big guy, too. Why is he?
I've seen a lot of people wearing the oversized clothes lately. I think that might be a trend.
I guess.
And keep in mind, I'm very late on trends.
Yeah.
I still think that braided belts and pleats are cool.
You're a pleat guy, huh?
Well, there's more room in them.
You know, I can't argue there.
I mean, I just, it's the way they are, way they are. Anyway, Ron Kopp, lead analyst from arrowheadpride.com, will wrap things up with the Chiefs mini camps and mandatory mini camps next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. I guess I was saying it correctly. The UFOs. Hey, dude's much easier, man. Yep. Crocs are easy.
Your guess is as good as mine.
So Brett McMurphy this morning put out a story, and this makes a lot of sense. You're probably not going to like it, but name, image, and likeness, what the hell? You know, you're paying the players. Might as well pay the conferences as well. Big 12 Conference All-State discussions for naming rights deal. The All-State Big 12 Conference. Brett McMurphy also says Conference USA in discussions with companies like Globe Life for a naming rights deal. But would you be a fan of that? See, I can't say I'm against it because college athletics have changed. You know, you saw Texas and lining up the Lambos out front of it. Guys are, taking deals. A lot of guys can take deals in high schools now. But this deal with Big 12 and All-State, according to Brett McMurphy, a rights deal worth up to $50 million a year to change the league's name, sources Ooh. Told the Action Network. All-State 12 top candidate for name if deal reached. So, obviously, Conference USA in discussions for that. But would you be in favor of an All-State 12 conference? And then the question is, what would the Big Ten and SEC command if this is a direction that that you have two conferences going in?
Yeah, I mean, it makes no difference to me. And, I mean, that's kind of why they brought Brett Yormark in. I mean, that's actually an amazing outside-the-box way of thinking to bring in extra revenue for the Big 12. And if that means securing the Big 12 and the schools and bringing in revenue, I mean, those are the kind of outside-the-box thinking that needs to be done to secure your place in college sports right now.
Well, they already go to bowl games. I mean, hell, Kansas State was in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I mean, that was a big ad for Pop-Tarts. Remember, they even had the edible Pop-Tart out there?
Yeah. That was amazing, by the way.
So, yes, if you get $50 million, you can spread around your schools. I don't think a lot of schools are going to be against that kind of deal. But Yormark, you got to find a way to make money, and I get it, man. If you're paying players and name, image, and likeness, these schools are going to want some money, too, because guess what? They got to pony up for the name, image, and likeness. Not only that, you're going to the boosters and asking them to fill those coffers. What the hell? The New Heights podcast, when the Kelce brothers did it in Cincinnati, that was to raise money for the name, image, and likeness at that university.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make that up somewhere, right? You got to make that revenue up somewhere, and this is a brilliant way of doing it, and I guarantee you other conferences are going to follow suit, 100%.
And McMurphy says it's unknown if a deal could be completed to begin for the 2024 season with the required amount of time to make changes in the signage, field logos, and other items. One new concern was that the NCAA's recent decision to allow corporate logos on the field could reduce the value of a naming rights deal. The league also is considering a private equity company in a deal worth $800 million to $1.1 billion for 20% ownership of the Big 12, according to the Action Network.
I don't know if I like that. You know, you start meddling in private affairs with publicly funded schools.
Yeah, but Yormark, comes in, he's making money. I mean, he's being proactive on the deal. This is, I think, the direction you're going to have to go to keep conferences up and keep them viable and not have them go out of business.
And you're wrong about that.
Jump to another conference, because if you're getting cash for this, your ability to want to stay is increased tenfold.
Look, it's hard to say no to what, $1 billion almost?
But you know the SEC and Big Ten are going to go all on board with this.
Oh, if the Big 12 is commanding $1 billion, I can only imagine what the Big Ten and SEC are going to command.
Well, the SEC is ESPN now. They're doing that. It's not the CBS afternoon window. They're doing windows, but they're flexing. But now they're letting people know the kickoff times. Usually you only knew that, 2 weeks in advance to do that.
Well, and maybe that's a benefit. Maybe that's a leg up that the Big 12 has, is they're not necessarily – they don't have the red tape necessarily that the Big 10 or the SEC might have to deal with, you know?
And the other big event, Julio, is obviously – because I did go on Fesco in the morning a couple days. It was yesterday, because they were asking me my opinion on the Joey Chestnut deal being banned from the event because he took outside money. But again, we're talking about outside money. We're talking
so
about
stupid, man. That's
renaming
stupid.
Conferences. He is what I consider Nathan's. I remember when he brought that Nathan's hot dog hat in, and I had that for a while.
I mean, it's only going to hurt. It only hurts them. I don't understand. It's stupid.
Well, Kobayashi, who is going to retire at some point, they have 22 mustard belts between them. I mean, they are the biggest stars, but they're going to go at it. And he says this is what Kobayashi says. Retiring for me will only happen after I take him down one last time. Oh, it's on, man. It's on. You're throwing barbs, and Joey's beating you. You've never even come close to that 76 hot dogs. Now, he was at a different location. One time they both tied like 59 or something like that. They have tied before, and Kobayashi has beaten him, but Joey's beaten him in that competition. But you got to find a way for Joey. And to keep in mind, they also do the Twink eating competition and everything else. But that was a big part of the 4th of July. It's what I look forward to. You had to watch the hot dog contest, and whether you loved it or hated it, people still talked about it. And guess what would lead SportsCenter that night was Joey Chestnut adding yet another title. And a face full of sweat. Remember?
I don't know that I'm going to go out of my way to watch it if he's not in it.
They tied in the 2008 contest with 59 hot dogs consumed in 10 minutes. But Chestnut won an eat-off in which he downed 5 more in 50 seconds, 7 seconds faster than Kobayashi. I remember one time they had Man vs. Beast? And they had Kobayashi going against a bear.
I remember that.
There was the bear destroyed him.
Of course, yeah.
The bear 100% destroyed Kobayashi. But will we see this now? Because they do have Major League Eating. And people do this. And a lot of times it's like a 105-pound woman or 110-pound woman, and women's circuit and a men's circuit. This might be the wave of the future. I mean, everything's about reality TV now, right? Why don't you have eat-offs?
I'm down for it. I think the text line is right. Andy Reid looks like he's actually wearing, now that I'm looking at him, the red Air Force Ones. I think those are. I don't think those are Crocs.
So Reed's wearing the Air Force Ones.
I think those are Air Force Ones, all red.
Okay.
I think that's correct.
So that is correct. All right. So he's rocking the Air Force Ones. Andy Reid likes Air Force Ones. I think he's always wearing a pair of those, isn't he? Usually the white ones.
So, yeah, that would make sense.
So Reed's not in Crocs.
He's safe. He's safe. Mark him safe from the Croc.
Good. I didn't think he'd go that direction. But if he did, again, he's one of those few guys that can wear whatever the hell they want. Like literally. Literally wear whatever he wants, and you'd be fine with it because it's Coach Reed.
Yep. He's earned that right, you know?
Mahomes should be rocking his shoes. People are wearing tennis shoes now with suits.
Yeah, but you know, he's more of a he's more fancy now, you know?
I guess.
He's too stylish for that now.
I guess. The text line's kind of mixed on him. But that is cool if he's rocking the Air Force Ones. I don't know what he's wearing. It's you and I both looked at him, and they looked.
Yeah, I seen another picture where you can see him more up close. And
okay, so they are Air Force Ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Mitch Holtis has the customized touchdown Kansas City shoes, and he has quote on it last year. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture here of Reed. Those are like all red. Those are red,
super bright red. Yes.
Yeah, those are red. Red laces, everything. Yeah, hell no, he's not in Crocs.
You liking Travis Kelce's red suit, by the way?
Yeah, the red suit's cool. Fesco's got a red jacket, too. He has once in a while. He had a blue one, too, when the Royals were on the run.
Why does it seem like Kelce always wears such oversized clothes? Like, is that a new fad? He's such a big guy, too.
I've seen a lot of people wearing the oversized clothes lately. I think that might be a trend.
I guess.
And keep in mind, I'm very late on trends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still think that braided belts and pleats are cool.
You're a pleat guy, huh?
Well, there's more room in them.
You know, I can't argue there.
I mean, it's the way they are, the way they are. Anyway, Ron Kopp, lead analyst from arrowheadpride.com, will wrap things up with the Chiefs mini camps and mandatory mini camps next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.